This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we continue our series of previews leading up to the Adequan FEI North American Junior and Young Rider Championships and the 2015 Pan American Games. Sinead Halpin and Peter Gray will share their perspectives as coaches, and we will also hear from Janice Linen, chair of the USEA Eventing Licensed Officials Committee, about the work of the committee. And we begin with Sinead Halpin, who is coach of the NAJYRC Area 2 team that is preparing for the one-star event at the Kentucky Horse Park. Sinead, welcome to the program.
Wow, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Your experience now, of course, with coaching Area 2 very successfully. Let's talk about this year, Sinead, and what you've been doing with them so far.
Well, we've had a really exciting year, actually. I mean, Young Riders, I remember when I was a kid and Young Riders was so, it was so popular. I mean, it was really what your focus was the whole year. And I went to a few camps and never actually made the team, never actually got to go. I would go and participate in the camp in Florida because I was actually Area 3 because I was down in South Carolina. And then it kind of felt like it went through this quiet time where I don't know if the numbers were down or if some of the kids actually were just getting really quite good and ending up going to work with a lot of different trainers that just pushed them towards more like when Radnor was around and Fair Hill and whatnot. But I feel like Young Riders is really making a bit of a comeback, especially in Area 2. So we had a lot of success last year at the championships. We won individual and team gold, which in the one star, which was super exciting. But even last year when, you know, we had, I don't know, we probably had 20 combinations declare that they were aiming towards Young Riders. And by the time Young Riders came around, like it happens in all of horse sports, you know, we really took all the riders and horses that were qualified. You know, people maybe missing out on qualifications or people missing out on our horses getting injured. And so we took six kids last year, all six kids that qualified. Well, this year we had a huge list to work from where we actually did have to go through and select a team. We had 10 qualified combinations for our one star. So it was actually a little bit sad. I felt when we had to write the letters telling people that they weren't, you know, that they were named as alternates and certainly invited to the camp. But we had to pick out of that crew. But it's been a great crew. I mean, we have on our team, we've got a couple of four-star campaigners that spent some time in London together. I don't know, Remington and Swizzle are both on our one-star team. I think it's really exciting. I'm getting really, this group is super. The kids are so excited. Last year's group was awesome, and I think they just really had this energy that just was infectious, and it got even more people involved this year.
So how many would you have from last year then, Sinead, that'll be doing the junior championships this year?
We've got a totally new team this year, actually. We've got some kids that are coming back to help as grooms and that side of things, but we do have a totally new team.
All right, so we're just a few weeks away now before they actually head to the horse park there in Kentucky. Talk about what you've been doing with them so far. How often would you see them as a coach and work with them at this point?
Well, it's funny. It's actually in Area 2, it's a little bit unique. And I think each area is very different as far as throughout the year, how much the area utilizes the actual team coach. You've got a couple of areas that maybe are lacking in having a lot of upper level trainers. So they really utilize their coach as their number one coach. In Area 2, I mean, we've got Philip Dutton, Boyd Martin, Neil Connors, Lillian Hurd, Lynn Szymanski. So I've got most of my kids are in a really, really good program. So what I do more so throughout the year is I touch base with everyone in the beginning of the season. I offer normally in North Carolina. I'm in North Carolina at the Fork from Carolina Horse Trials through Rolex. So I often have some kids come and train with me for a couple of days. Like it's kind of an open door policy. I say, look, I'm at this place. I'm at the Fork for these days. If you can come up with a couple of days that you want to come in and train, come on down. So I had, I think, three of the Young Riders came and based with me for a week at a time or so. And then normally I keep tabs. I'm kind of watching. You know, I know I talk to the trainers. I'm good friends with all the trainers. I'm at the horse shows. I'll offer course walks if they need them. But mostly I'm just kind of keeping tabs, watching, talking to the instructors that they already have because they're an excellent program. And by the time we get to Virginia horse trials, which is the one star that they need, the CCI one star that they need to qualify, that's when we really have a good feel of the kids that are most likely going to get their qualifications done. The horses are looking good and sound. We have our team vets, which for Area 2, we're pretty freaking lucky because we have Dr. Susan Johns and Dr. Amy Norville as our team vets, who also happen to be the team vets for the U.S. equestrian team. So that's pretty awesome. These kids down at Virginia got to have, we went and trotted all the horses up after their cross country. Susan talked to them, Amy talked to them about their programs, and then we really start kind of narrowing down who's going to go. And then after Virginia, about a week after Virginia, coming back from Vermont, we ended up naming the team. I went to the selectors, who are Aaron Sylvester, Max Corcoran, and Holly Hudson, and we sent them all the information, all the stats from the kids. I, you know, obviously put my 2 cents in of what I had seen, and they had been watching the kids all season, and then they came back to me with a team, and we sent that out, and yeah, so that's what we're looking forward to now. Is we've got camp in at Moorvan Park in Virginia, starting right. We start the camp on a Tuesday evening, and we train through the Sunday, and we head to Kentucky on a Monday for young riders.
So that's pretty intense then for that week then, just before you mm-hmm. you go to Kentucky. What would you be doing with them then? Would you be doing all three phases with every one of them, Sinead, or do you have any help for any of the phases?
No, it's just me. but it's fine. You know what? It's great. We have all the alternates come. We invite all the alternates and the riders. We have all the grooms there. And basically, we have the vets show up. The kids get there and are required to be there Tuesday evening. And the vets come out Wednesday at 8:30. And we get all the horses out. We trot them up, get a good look and see what they're looking like. So throughout the week, we all get familiar so that we can really have a solid team when we go to the competition. And then we kind of go as you would leading up to your own 3 day. If it was just, you know, if it was you, we have one day that we gallop. So we'll do a gallop on Friday. The vets will come out for that again, watch the horses gallop, make sure they're all healthy. And check them before we head out. And we do a couple of days of dressage. It's awesome that we're at Moorvan because we have the cross country right there. So we'll go have a jump in the water, jump some corners. We'll have some show jumping days and really get familiar with, at that point, we're just all getting familiar and trying to figure out the best way to be super competitive. And I'm very lucky that these kids are really good riders. I mean, they're very good riders in very good programs. And I already sent an email out last week asking everyone to kind of let me know what they thought. And this is a little different in our area. I know not every area is like this, but I do feel like these are smart kids and they've gotten successful on their own with their coaches. So it's not my job to come in and take over and change everything that they've done. It's my job to come in and help them compete the best that they possibly can. So I had them all email me and let me know their thoughts on their strengths, weaknesses, and what they thought the perfect preparation would be for their 3 day event. Because it's all about them. Like these kids are in high school, right? They've got tons of distractions, things going on all over the place. And this is the one opportunity where they're going to have everything all about them for about 10 days. And they can really take advantage of me. They can take advantage of the venue. They can take advantage of, you know, that's everything. And so the emails have been pouring in because I don't think they, you know, realize like we're working for them, you know, what's it going to take for you to be successful? So that's what this part of the lead up is all about, is what's it going to take to be successful and developing a really good communication. And our camp is all about that. I mean, I really think it's important to have everybody as comfortable as they can be, really knowing each other, and also kind of just figuring out what person needs a little quiet time, what person needs a big pep talk, you know, what do they need to really go out and feel like they can shine. So that's a lot of what camp is about.
Well, you mentioned that some of the other aspects, and of course, gelling as a team as well. This is their first opportunity, probably working with a team and a coach, to gel together as a team and learn the soft skills that it takes to be successful when you're under pressure at a championship event like this. Because, as I said earlier, Sinead, this is a big deal for them. It's one thing mm-hmm. concentrating on their performance, but also knowing how to gel as a team and support one another.
Mm-hmm, totally. And, you know, a lot of these kids, some kids, this will be, you know, they'll do this and then they'll go to college and, you know, get a real job. And this will just be hopefully a wonderful memory. And some kids will stick with this for life. You know, some kids, this is what they want to do and they'll make friends here for life. I mean, I know I still have friends, really close friends from my Young Rider days, as do most, you know, most upper level competitors here. So it's your first team experience, and it will, you know, it needs to be a positive one. And often, you know, these kids don't know what to expect when they come into this. So it's, you know, all of us kind of working together for the greater good.
And what sort of advice would you give them then if they, you know, if there are any that didn't make it onto the squad this time round or aspire to get to the championships one year, what sort of advice would you give to them to get used to that kind of environment and what it means to be part of a team, Sinead?
Well, fortunately, I've been on both sides of this. So I think it's nice because I can say, hey, look, guys, I've been there, right? I've been that alternate that's been kind of knocking at the door and ready to get called up and not gotten to go. And I think it's a huge thing to participate. And we invite all of our alternates against the camp so that they can be part of this team. We invite them to come as grooms to the actual event. Like one of our kids last year, Skylar, that went, she came as a groom and she's riding this year. And I tell them, look, people are watching, you know, like people, the selectors are watching, I'm watching. And if I remember you being a hard working, really interested, great alternate, I'm going to remember. And at that point next year, if there's a slight conversation between maybe you and maybe one other person that maybe didn't shine so bright, you know, it will work out for you at some point in time. And coming to the actual event is such an awesome experience. I mean, just being there, it's really, really cool. So whether you're there as a groom or a rider, you know, both are equally exciting. So I think that those guys just keep, you know, coming and seeing the level and seeing it again, it'll just re-motivate them to really, you know, get really involved. And I already have other coaches and kids saying, okay, what do I need to do to get onto the team next year? You know, and I'm like, do what's best for you and your horse to be as successful as you can through your competition career. If you need help from me, I'm here for you all year round, whatever you want. You can always pick up the phone and call me. Or if you need help finding a coach in your area, we can do that too. But, you know, this is very influential years in these kids' lives. And I think Young Riders really gives them the connection to be well-educated, well-taught, and meet peers and friends that are in good programs and learning good practices and good horsemanship. So I think all of it is just very positive.
And as a coach, obviously you clearly enjoy your role there with Area 2, but what is it you most take away from the experience and why you enjoy keep coming back and bringing on these young riders?
Well, funny, because I think about that a lot, but there's just an energy, right? There's a kind of a youthful, it sounds silly, but this kind of youthful just excitement and all pure potential. And, you know, after you've done this for a long time, sometimes it gets hard to keep deep downish times. And sometimes it gets a little bit harder to keep getting back up. And these guys, watching them at this point in their career, where they're obviously motivated and hardworking, or they wouldn't be here anyway. And then just seeing them walk into that same venue that, you know, their favorite four-star riders competed at Rolex, you know, watching them trot into the Rolex arena is just something they'll never forget. And coming together, it is, again, just their weekend. It's their week. It's so, it just lifts you up. And these, you know, and I stay in touch with my kids from last year. They call, they text, they catch up with what I'm doing. I catch up with what they're doing. And it's, you know, it just grows kind of your eventing family and community. It's really fun. You know, as a pro that does this all the time, you've got this group of professionals that's always, you know, we cut jokes in the warm-up and stuff, but we're working, right? It's our job. These guys are still in that period where this is fun. This is great. They're coming out and they're excited. And to be around that and be re-motivated and re-inspired by these kids is something that, you know, I can't replace with anything else.
It's a touching stone for you then, reminding you just of the raw emotions and what it really means when you're that young to participate in the championships.
Totally.
All right, Sinead, well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your thoughts. Presumably, you've high hopes for more medals. Realistically, what do you think you might take away from Kentucky this year?
I'm planning on the double golds again. I mean, I've got some real players. I've got some real good horses, real good riders. And you know, I think we've got good things in our future.
All right. Well, the very best of luck with your team. Thanks again, Sinead.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Janice Linnan is chair of the USCA's Eventing Licensed Officials Committee, and she joins us now. Janice, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I look forward to talking with you and explaining part of what the mission is of the Eventing Licensed Officials Committee.
Would you like to begin by explaining the work of the committee, Janice?
Yes. The role of the Licensed Officials Committee, for the Eventing Licensed Officials Committee, I should say, is to encourage individuals to become licensed officials with the USEF, and our job is to offer the education that's necessary to help them become successful in their journey. So on that note, we decided last year that perhaps the licensed officials that would like to accept apprentices and help them, because that is part of the requirement in becoming an official or upgrading this to apprentice with your senior officials, we designed a preceptor training program, and it is available on the USCA website. It actually is a slide presentation that we put together that is an overview of what we expect an official who is going to accept an apprentice at a competition to cover. So we make sure that everyone is on the same page in their education, because it is an individual thing, a one-on-one out in the field. So if you go to the website and go to the preceptor training slide program, it gives basically an overview of the job description of an official, what the official's roles are, the difference between a judge and a TD and a course designer. It explains, or at least it gives talking points on what the team is all about and how we should all work together when on site. It talks about our obligations and our responsibilities to the organizers, to the competitors. The rules, it explains the different talking points on how we can explain different rules to the person that's wanting to upgrade. It talks about the scoring and the results, how we should, you know, implement the results and when they should be published, that type of thing. And then there's a special breakdown on the different slides of judges, technical delegates, course designers, and then it covers the different forms that we should discuss with the apprentice and the crisis management plan. And then basically how we should wrap up with the apprentice by filling out the evaluation form with them and having an honest discussion with them on where we see their strengths as well as their weaknesses.
For people that are new to this program and maybe don't know about the work of the licensed officials and how they become a licensed official themselves, a judge or a technical delegate, for example, talk a little bit about what they need to do to apply for that, Janice. I mean, the stepping stones, if you will, to become a licensed official.
When a person is a competitor, because that's where our licensed officials originate, they basically have requirements that are published on the USEF website. I think we need to clarify here that the United States Equestrian Federation licenses our officials, and the United States Eventing Association runs the training programs and the educational piece of it. So what one would do if they wanted to become a licensed official is to go to the USEF website and pull up the document that explains what is required to become a licensed official for each one of the different licenses. So if you wanted to become a judge, there's a document for that. If you wanted to be upgraded for a judge, there's another document for that. And we have revised them in the past, over the past year, trying to make it easier for someone to understand. Does that help?
Yes, of course. And then there are many different roles that you can play as a licensed official. I think it might be helpful to explain the role of the technical delegate in some detail. It's not something that we've covered here. And, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a mystery to competitors. They wonder what it is that the technical delegate actually does and what their role is in the reporting structure for a TD. Would you like to unpack that for us, Janice?
Yes. The technical delegate is, as it infers, the person who's responsible for all of the technical aspects of the competition. So they basically would be in touch with the organizer prior to the competition to see what the plan is and how the organizer plans to implement the competition. And they usually arrive on site a day or two before the competition begins. And their role is to be the liaison, if it will, between the organizers and the judges, the course designers and the competitors. And they're there also to protect the interests of the organizer and the judges and the course designers. They basically look at the layout of the property. They inspect the dressage and the show jumping arenas to make sure that they're laid out according to the rules, you know, the size, and as simple as, are the letters in the right place for the dressage arena? They spend most of their time out on the cross country before the competition begins, making sure the jumps all are legal, a measure according to whatever level that they are presenting, the distances. They look at the stabling to make sure that it's adequate and it's safe. They also review how the parking is going to work, how the cars are coming in. Do they have a place for the veterinarian to set up the farrier, that type of thing. That's before the competition. Then when the competition begins, their duties are continue on. They are responsible for briefing the personnel, the ring stewards, the jump judges, etc. Now, most competitions have their own set of volunteers, which, of course, without them, we couldn't even have a competition. But they work with the volunteers to make sure that everyone understands their job and then implements what they're supposed to do. Here again, they measure the cross-country obstacles, as I mentioned, but they also then go in and look at the show jumping tracks once they're set up, and they measure each jump and make sure it's appropriate to the level that's riding over these jumps. They measure the length and the distances of the courses. They always evaluate the footing and help the management work towards getting the optimum footing for the competitors. They also have to give an evaluation at the end of the competition of the event management and also the overall evaluation of the event. And that's usually put in a TD report. The TD report is quite extensive now. They then have to send it to the USEF, the organizer, of course, and make constructive recommendations for improvement. And they also have to report adverse situations, and there's certain forms and data they have to include. The TD report, of course, then if someone happens to pop off their horse, we have fall form. If someone gets injured, we have an accident injury form they have to fill out. If someone had to be spoken to by the ground jury or even the competition management and they felt it serious enough that it needed to be addressed in writing, we have warning cards that are given, similar to the FEI warning cards. And, of course, if there are any press releases that go out, typically the technical delegate works with the competition to get the wording correct for the newspaper or whatever. And there's also a safety officer that I did forget to mention that the technical delegate would liaison with to make sure that we have medical coverage, veterinary coverage, and all of those things are in place before the competition begins.
So that TD, of course, has many, many responsibilities and duties during an event. And then we want to talk a little bit maybe about the judging, because I know that you're at an R graduate to the large R workshop this week, Janice. So talk a little bit about the process then for going up through the levels as a judge.
Yes, you would begin with the small R training program, which once it's completed, you would be eligible to judge through the preliminary level, which means you could be the president of the ground jury for beginner novice through prelim. In order to accomplish that, your training program would include also the B and C sessions. We have an A, B, and C session. The A is the dressage judging. The B and C is the stadium and the cross-country judging, because being responsible for the whole event, you have to have the education that the technical delegate has as well. So once that's accomplished and you've been judging for a time and you fulfill the other requirements that is actually posted on the USCF website, then you could apply for your large R, which allows you then to move up and judge to the intermediate level. And here again, you'd go through the education, the apprenticing, and then taking your test. We last year implemented an S senior judge, which then allows you to judge through the advanced level. And that's pretty much structured the exact same way as the lower levels. But basically, when you're the president of the ground jury, you are responsible for the competition, and the buck stops there.
You're conducting a workshop or education session this week, and they are held throughout the country, that you travel extensively doing this.
Yes, we do. We try and set these programs up a year and a half to 2 years in advance so people can plan their schedule, because a number of these people that are beginning are still competitors, which is where we draw from, and they've already had their schedules planned throughout the year on where they're going. A number of them have students and clients that they take. So we basically try and plan it. Right now we're trying to finish up 2017, so people will have time. And also we have the people that are eligible to conduct the seminars that are on the Eventing License Officials Committee, and they also have schedules that we have to accommodate.
Janice Linnan is again the chair of the USCA's Eventing Licensed Officials Committee. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you very much.
With the Pan American Games starting in about 3 weeks in Toronto, Canada, we continue our series of previews talking to some of the coaches. And Peter Gray, who is the coach of the Guatemalan team, joins us now. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. I'm delighted to be here.
How long is it that you've now been coach to the Guatemalan team?
It is now 1 year and a half. I've been working with them. Last year, I made monthly trips down there just to get the program going and just to establish them fundamentals and ground rules. And I've only been down twice this year, but yeah, I would say things are going quite well.
And how many riders did you have at your disposal when you first started, and which of those are with you now then as we get closer to the Pan Ams, Peter?
Well, we started out with a total of seven riders in Guatemala, all trying out for a two-star qualification. Two of those seven did not get qualified, and really they are probably a year away from being at that standard. So we're working now with a condensed group of five riders, four of which are in Canada with me right now, and those would be Alvaro Del Val. He's actually a veterinarian and the most seasoned of all of our competitors. He has spent some time in the U.S. before competing, so he's has a little bit of an advantage because he has seen what a championship course looks like. Tizzy Billy Prem rides a little thoroughbred. Sharka de Mendez, Stephanie Brand, who was our gold medalist from Central American Games last December in Mexico, and then Carlos Suarez is not with us at the moment. He has a pyro-positive mare, and if he is needed to be on the team, he will ship up from Guatemala City straight to Miami, where he will quarantine, and then he has to go in isolation to Toronto, straight to the Pan Am site, where pyro-positive horses are going to be isolated from the rest of the group. So that is our five.
Let's talk about them individually and the partnerships that they have. What they've done before you met them, Peter, what you've required of them during your tenure, and what the rest of the preparation looks like before you get to the start of the games.
Yes, from an experience level, that's an interesting question. Carlos, with the mayor still in Guatemala, and Sharka de Mendez have had a lot of one-star experience with their horses. When I say a lot of one-stars, they've probably done perhaps five or six, which we would never do in North America, because then we advance to the two-star level. But without any two-star championship courses down in Central America, they just, the FEI competition available is the one-star. So those two would be our most experienced. Alvaro has had two horses 3 years ago competing in Ocala at the two-star level and at Bromont. But he rides a new mare, Nawal, who is a very, very genuine type horse. Not as experienced as the other two, but really clever and a very, very good team player. Tizzy rides a thoroughbred off the track, which seemed to be becoming so popular now in this country. This horse did compete at the Central American Games and twice. So it's a pretty good jumper. We struggled with the dressage with that one. And then Stephanie, our gold medalist from Central American, is on a German import. She herself has done a lot of show jumping and switched to eventing 2 years ago. So that horse has a little bit been on the fast track to get educated and trained in the world of eventing. But clearly from its results, it's doing very well with the transition.
And she, of course, had a setback with a fall a few weeks ago now. How is she, and how ready will she be for the games then, given that setback, Peter?
Well, it's a little bit uncertain at this point, Chris. She had a very nasty fall at Chat Hill in early May. And the result of her fall was a broken collarbone, which has been operated on and pinned and plated, which is healing very well. But that wasn't really, I don't think that's the big concern. She had some mild fractures in her pelvic area, and it's still unknown how those are healing. She is going to have a checkup tomorrow, and we'll get clearance from the doctor at that point whether she can come up to Canada, because she'd go back to Guatemala for her rehab. But she's the youngest of our group. She's 18. She has her life ahead of her, and I would hate to encourage her to try and push for the Pan Am Games if physically she's not ready. And also mentally, I want to make sure she's ready. You know, she did have a setback with this fall, as many of us do in this sport. And really, it'd be nice to get her out to some lower competitions before setting her out of the start box at the Pan Am. So that's a little bit undecided. Having said that, she is one of the most focused athletes I've ever met. She is so driven. Her identical twin sister is a gold medalist pentathlon athlete who is also going to the Pan Am. So between the two of them, they're quite a family, and quite a very mature in their thinking. And I know she'll be very disappointed if she does not get the chance, but at this point we're going to leave it up to the medical experts.
Tell us what the training schedule has looked like for you then with the team, Peter, as of now. Do you train them on a daily basis?
Yes, pretty much from now on in we're training on a daily basis. We have had a couple of competitions. We've done Chat Hills and Bromont. More importantly than those competitions, perhaps, was the training. When we were in Ocala, we did cross-country schooling at Longwood and at Clayton Fredericks, and we were able to start to educate them with some of the types of questions that they will see at a two-star in this country, and the types of things that they haven't had to do before. So a lot of education, I think that has been more important than competing. So we did Chat Hills and Bromont. Bromont, as you know, is a very stiff track, and it was Derek DeGrazia built a very big course for them this year, so they really had their eyes open. But you know what? As often happens, it makes the riders ride especially well, and all three that competed there had clear rounds, which I was delighted with. So from here on in, daily training with me, we have a CDI dressage show in Newmarket, Ontario this weekend. Kara Woodham has kindly given us the 2015 two-star test B to practice under the international judges that are there. So that will be nice, just to give them a little extra pressure. We have a jumper show at a very nice facility in 2 weeks' time, but otherwise it's just training. We are based at Joe Young's Wits End Farm, and she formerly, of course, used to host a three-star BIC World Cup in former days, so it's a very good facility with very good jumps and a useful training ground. So we are not competing anymore in eventing. It'll just be daily training, really, in all three phases.
And when is it that you actually move into the site, Peter?
We move into the site on the 12th of July, and I believe competition begins on the 16th.
So what would be your expectations of the team then at this point, Peter, having worked with them for several months now, over a year? You probably have raised the game during that period for them.
I think one of my major continuing goals is to teach them how team competition is a little bit different than individual. One of the experiences I had in the past was that when we went to the Central American Games, it seemed that they would almost rather have a penalty taking the direct route than to be seen taking the long route and going clear, which is just mind-boggling to me. But it's just a little bit of a different Central and South American culture to be seen taking the quickest route. But just to educate them to the importance of what it takes to get on the podium and to get a strong team finish. And it isn't necessarily a bunch of top individual scores. It's consistency. You know, if we can get three riders in the top 12, we're going to be looking very, very good on the final day. So it's the strategy has been to work as a team, what it takes to get all three phases completed successfully, not even remotely thinking about any top individual performances. We're going for a strong team finish. And we hope to give the other countries a bit of a competition to get onto the podium.
And what does that mean for Guatemala in terms of the Rio Olympic Games, Peter?
It means nothing, actually. It means that perhaps if any of the riders are going to be good enough to go on to the next step and start to do a three-star, they would have to do that by this fall. They could remotely get an individual spot, perhaps, but that isn't even in the horizon, I don't think, for us.
All right. All focus now on Toronto, starting in a few weeks' time. Peter, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program, and the very best of luck with the team.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And as Peter said, the games begin with the jog on the 16th of July, concluding on Sunday the 19th. And you'll find more information about the Pan American Games on their website at toronto2015.org. And for information about the FEI Adequan North American Junior and Young Rider Championships, which take place in the Kentucky Horse Park again from July 14th through the 19th, you'll find everything you need to know on the website at youngriders.org. And whilst you're online, be sure to check out all the latest news on the USCA's website at useventing.com. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.